Today is the beginning of the second 6 months of the year 2005, and we started on a journey in January to talk about the love and the law, the two aspects of spirit that Science of Mind describes so powerfully. What is the law? How does the universe work? What's the point to prayer? How do we use it in a way that's most effective? That's what we've been talking about for the last 6 months. And I said on the first day, when we started in January, that for me, even the law is all about love. That the feeling that I have about God is so clearly defined by unconditional love. And TM just said, sang in his beautiful song that, you can't change the way I feel about you. I believe that you can do anything, but you can't change the way I feel about you. And that is the way I think that God looks at us, that Spirit looks at us, that we can do anything and that God believes we can do anything. But the one thing we cannot change is the way Spirit feels about us, the love that is there for us. And TM expressed it so powerfully as a physical father, as a loving being who had a son who he adored, that each of us are the loving sons and daughter of Spirit. And how we think about that depends on where we are in consciousness at the moment. How we look at life depends on our belief system and the approach that we're currently taking to the universe. And I talk a lot about the David Hawkins map of human consciousness that runs from zero, which is too shamed and guilty to support life, and which is the level where people sort of commit suicide, all the way up to cosmic consciousness like Jesus or Buddha, where there is the knowing that we are one with God, and that's at 1,000 on his scale, 0 to 1,000. And the intermediate stops are where most people live, in between, you know, not enough energy to sustain life or complete merger with the awareness of the divine. And everywhere we are on that scale, whether we're understanding or loving or joyful or critical or afraid or angry, everywhere on that scale, we are expressing the love that we are to the best of our ability. We may be expressing it as violence and anger and the desire for revenge or to protect our family. We may be expressing it as fear and not knowing where to go if we're in a belief system that supports that. Or we may be expressing it as generosity and caring and kindness and gentleness. We may be expressing it as celebration of life and the awareness that all are part of Spirit and that all is well. It's all love. There is no place on that scale that is not love. And David's helped me so much in understanding that aspect of what I look out at in the world. Because it's so easy to judge and say this group is lovable and that group is doing everything wrong and they're not lovable. This group is special and precious and that group is not. But if you're going to understand more deeply the love that God is, then it comes down to that unconditional love that is ever present, that no matter what you do, no matter what is changed, the love still is there. And it's easier to do it with people that are close to us. The people that are close to us are so precious, and it's so powerful to look at them and realize that they are such meaningful beings in our lives. And it's fabulous when we can do that. And there are a few people that are easy to love. And in your brochure, you'll see that Ernest Holmes in seminar lectures right under the banner, the picture of the banner on the back. He said, "Now suppose there were six people of whom I'm very fond. These six I love very much. Suppose, theoretically, I could love everyone I meet as much as I love those six. Would I love those six less? No, of course not. It's very difficult to let go of the little, and we cannot take hold of the big unless we let go of the little. Why are we afraid to do this? It's because we do not know how terrific love is. We don't know what it means. We don't know how to feel in its presence. And yet those relationships with those six or ten or three or one that allows us to open our hearts to love shows us the first step in getting to know how terrific love is. And then we learn to love bigger and bigger, and we open our hearts to more and more. And it can be too big a leap to try to open your hearts to everyone. That the experience of looking at what other people do and judging that, that's so much a part of our experience. That's what we've been taught. We don't know elsewhere. And we can try to take the quantum leap of loving everyone everywhere, and it gets painful because we fail, because we don't understand what they're doing. We don't know why they behave the way they behave. And that was really bothering me for a time, that I couldn't open my heart to love everyone in the same way. And then I realized that that's what God does. God loves everyone everywhere, unconditionally, in the same way all the time. That's God's work. And my work as an individual is to love someone or something right now. That finding the path of love today is what I can do today. And that if I do that today, I become a better lover, and tomorrow my heart is bigger, my conception of love is bigger, and I can love more tomorrow. If I bang myself against my own judgment of how good I'm loving, I'm not more loving tomorrow. So to love a little more each day is my goal, to find a way that I can open my heart a little more. And the understanding of what it means to love is so interesting, because it's really, in many ways, we're taught to love others more than ourselves, and that's the highest truth. That at least was what I was taught when I was a child. And yet there is a point at which we have to love ourselves and take care of ourselves, or we're not going to be here to love anyone else. And I asked David if I could tell the story, and he allowed me to speak it, but he has been seeing his doctor, and his doctor said to him very clearly, "You take care of everyone else, but you're not taking very good care of yourself, and now it's time for David. It's time to love and take care of David." And empowered him in a way that no one else ever has in his life, to say, "I take care of myself, and then I have the ability to take care of other people, to do for others, to be of service." And to love ourselves is such a powerful thing. To take care of ourselves is such a powerful thing, and it's what allows us to love for a long time. Because if we don't take care of ourselves, eventually we don't show up on the planet anymore as this particular life in this particular way. And so how can we care for ourselves, and how can we care for each other in the best way we know how? How can we be the love that God is, as unconditional as we can be today? and seeing it as our goal to encompass more and more of that unconditionalness over time, but not judging ourselves for not being enough, that we're not already fully realized as spirit today. That's, you know, I've always been an overachiever. I always made my goals way too big. And having a more realistic goal in this way feels better to me now. It feels like a way of taking care of myself in the context of a world where there's a lot of different kinds of people doing a lot of different kinds of things. And so as I prepare for these talks, what comes to me is always what I most need to hear. So I don't know if this is what you most need to hear today, but all I can share is what I need to hear. And over time, we'll get more chances to share ourselves. But one of the best books I've ever come across on love is this book by Frank Andrews called The Art and Practice of Loving. And it's really a remarkable volume. He's thought about love, and he writes a lot about the various myths of love, that in order to love, you always have to agree. In order to love, you always have to be there forever, that a relationship that is not forever is not loving. These are all myths. And this is what he says about specialness and ordinariness. He says, if others must be special for you to love them, you also must be special if others are to love you. Chances are you're an ordinary human being, much like everyone else. In truth, there is nothing ordinary or special in the world. Ordinary and special are labels to stick on something, just to justify ignoring it or appreciating it. You can see the specialness in anything. Loving breaks down the distinctions between ordinary and special, and sees how wonderful it really is to be a typical human being living among other typical humans and innumerable other creatures on what is probably a typical planet going around a typical star. Rest assured that on the path of loving, you will still have preferences, will distinguish between what you want and what you do not want, and will make choices as you go through life. Indeed, choosing one thing over another is easier on a path of loving because there is less risk. Whatever direction you choose to go, you will surely find much to love. Whatever direction you go, you will surely find much to love. And this description that he has is one level of consciousness about loving, about seeing the love that exists in the everyday, of allowing yourself to begin to realize how special everything is. And I think for me, that next step, when I've begun to see that truth, when I've begun to understand that it's all special, and that if I bring the quality of attention to something that I've previously associated with, this is special, pay attention, then whatever I'm paying attention to in that way is special. It's that quality of attention I bring to it that is special. I notice it with my kitty cat. After I get out of the shower in the morning, I've got my towel wrapped around me, and she jumps up on the divider in the bathroom, and she wants to be loved. That's what her idea of being loved is. She stands there, and she wants to be petted in that moment. And some days I give her a cursory pat because she's there and expects it. And then I recognize that this precious being who loves me so much in my life has said, I'm here, I love you, I'm available to love. And I've basically ignored her. And when I go to her and I see her and I acknowledge her, that this is Dusty and this is her way of loving. All cats are not cuddly. Some of them have a petting post that they go to when they're ready to be petted. And this is Dusty's petting post, and she wants to be loved in this moment. And I touch her with tenderness, and I allow the love that I am to be present with her loving energy, then we have an interchange that is meaningful, because I'm present. My sense of loving is present. And so often, I'm unconscious of loving. I'm busy, I'm doing all of these things, and loving isn't the first thing on my mind. But to make myself aware of the presence of anyone is such a powerful thing. And whether it's seeing David sitting at his computer and taking that minute to go over and rub his shoulders and tell him I love him and make him feel the love present in that moment, that's a precious thing. Just a minute of connection, of taking a moment to express the love that I feel, because I do love so much. And yet sometimes I'm wrapped up in all these other things and I forget to say I love you to all my friends, to the people and the kitty cats that I live with. I forget to say I love you to my home and to my car and to the communities that I associate with. Judy Oliver is so wonderful because she loves Sterling. She moved here on purpose and she loves this town with a passion. And she goes around telling herself and everyone who will listen what she loves about the town of Sterling. And I love Sterling so much more since Judy's come into my life, because she articulates what she sees here that's lovable. And so many times in my life, people have had to tell me, look, this is what's special about this. And I get to see it from a whole new perspective, from those eyes of love, from that heart of love, from the being of love that that person is. And there are things that I love that I can speak about and say, look at this, this is beautiful. And then other people love it more. And so I think that's the most precious gift of love that we give to each other, is that we show others what's lovable, what's possible, what's special about everything. Because if we really believe at core that God is all there is, then that divine spirit, that love, that lovability is inherent in everything, in every situation, in every person. And there is that love coming forth. Some people say, Course in Miracles says, everything is either love or a call to love. Love or an opportunity for love. And David said, when I said, oh, I want to bring the map of human consciousness again, he said, can't you do something original? And he was right. And I have done something original. And this is the map of human consciousness that is in a different form. David created this graphic, and I saw it, and David made it a physical object. It's the map of human consciousness without the numbers, with colors and circles. I had a minister tell me once that she couldn't look at the linear map of human consciousness with all the numbers and the black and white things on a piece of paper because it was too linear. It didn't describe consciousness to her. So I went into meditation and said, how can you describe consciousness? And it became this circular rainbow graphic with all of the pieces that are on the main map of human consciousness. And we didn't decide to do this until 10 o'clock this morning, so we didn't have time to print multiple copies, but it will come around. But the point is, and Kate, if you could hold up your copy, and Carla, if you could hold up your copy for just a minute. In the circles, there's all the different consciousness of all the people in the world. And different levels of consciousness have different qualities. And then the center is source. And on the quadrants, there are two channels. There's a channel of love and a channel of fear. And if you tap into the love channel, you move inward and upward on the map. if you tap into the fear channel, you move outward and downward on the mat. And the point is that we are either in any moment operating from a level of expansion of energy, which is love, or a level of contraction of energy, which is fear. And when we really tap into love, we can feel expansion. And I know in the past, at times, there was this feeling that I had that when I loved something, my heart closed around it. It became a contraction. In order to love something, I had to contain it. I had to own it. I had to have it be part of me forever and to close around it. And love, particularly romantic love, for a lot of people feels like closing around. And this idea of cosmic love is an opening outward. It's a feeling of expansion. And when we move into the love that feels like expansion rather than closing around, life looks different. It's a really different experience. So there comes this opportunity to have a spacious heart and to love at that level of opening and spaciousness. And now I may be the only one in the room who ever closed around love, but that was my experience, so I'm sharing that. The feeling of love having to be containing and owning is one way of loving, but there is this other way of loving, of love being expanding. And once you begin to feel the difference between the contracting and the expanding, it becomes easier to discern in life whether the activities that you're involved in are allowing you to love bigger or are moving into the space of loving smaller. And there are people I know, and you know, I keep using David in his example, and it's so unfair because it embarrasses him, but he's open to love. He is so appreciative. He is so expressive. He is so willing to throw himself into a loving relationship with someone else that he sees the good in them and expresses that good so beautifully. And he's taught me so much about being willing to be in that expansion of love. It doesn't have to be love about ownership. It can be love about expansion. There's a poem, there's a poet named Rumi who wrote an awful lot about everything in the 13th century. And in fact, he has become the most popular poet in the United States in the 21st century, which is a little bit bizarre, but he must have had really amazing consciousness for that to be true, because people keep translating what he said in more and more effective ways. And this is one translation of one of Rumi's statements. He said, "Love exists everywhere around us and permeates everything. It is the treasure of the world, and by its very existence, it cannot be kept captive inside our own coffers. True love exists beyond the people that we love. When we understand this, the expectations we place on others diminish. We are loved by existence itself. And so we don't need to feel rejected or hurt when a partner or a friend isn't able to love us the way we wish. When our feelings depend on no one, we have attained a high state of realization. Our love is our own. Our happiness is our own. We are responsible for the way we feel, and there is no longer any need to ask others to provide us with these states. This is an important task on the path of love. Link your spirit to love itself. Open our heart to existence. Choose love as your spiritual journey, and you will never be disappointed." To love beyond objects, to love beyond conditions, to love beyond people, to love. In my book, I dedicated my book to my three husbands, The one that I got divorced from in a very painful, messy relationship in 1985. To my husband who died in 1995. And to David. And what I said in that book was that my first husband taught me how to love myself. Because in my pain of leaving him, I made the choice that if I were going to exist, that I had to exist in a place that felt loving to me, that felt caring to me. And so my relationship with him didn't feel that way, and I needed to move on. My second husband taught me to love someone else, to be open, to really be open to someone else. And what I got in my meditation is that my relationship with David is teaching me to be love itself. And that is an ongoing process. I can't tell you the end result. We're not done yet. I hope we're not done for many, many, many years to come. But learning to be love and to taking this first step on this 6-month journey that I've committed to learning about what God is and what love is from the position of you can't change the way I feel about you toward everything, toward everyone, toward more. I don't want to be absolute about this. God is absolutely loving, and that's all that needs to be absolutely loving. And I am God in expression, as we all are. And to be more loving in this life experience is what I really want. And so I am excited about this beginning journey. I am not bringing all the answers in my talk this month. I am saying this is the first step on a journey for more love. And how can we really, really know love more powerfully? How can we experience and express it more? Those are my questions for the next 6 months. And I'm so glad that you each were here to be a part of that beginning. I pulled a card from our Abraham well-being card set this morning. I said, tell me more about love, and it did. The front of it says, the universe knows me and the universe adores me. And on the back of it, it says, if you will allow it, you will feel the love that flows to you and through you. You are always seen, always understood, and always loved. If we knew that, if we really knew that we were always seen, always understood, and always loved, would it change the way we live? Would it change the way we love? Would it change the way we are? I think it would for me. I don't always remember that, but I want to spend time consciously remembering that love. And I'm really glad that the study group gives me the opportunity to remind myself every day that this month, this is what I'm learning. And so I invite you to allow this time to be about learning to love at a deeper level and learning to love yourself as well as others, learning to love life, learning to love spirit, learning to be love. Thanks.